the success of the programs and what has been funded to date, where we'd like to go in terms of budget and programming for 2022, and then breaking out the numbers that we would have in there as well. So, you know, really quickly, I think obviously a big reason that we're here today is that this is the first time that the Tourism Board has needed to come before the BEA to request financial support for the programming that it does. My understanding has been that, you know, way in the past, there was a nominal fee. I believe what I have read is that when it was called the Arts and Entertainment Council, there was a nominal funding line item of around $20,000. That grew significantly, particularly at a time when the law was changed so that the lodging tax brought in by the city went directly to fund the Tourism Board. And specifically, that played pretty advantageously for both the city and the Tourism Board in the light of the pandemic itself. That said, the law was changed. Tom, keep me honest here. Was it March of 2020 or was it March of 2021 that it was amended so that the Tourism Board is no longer receiving funds from lodging?
2020, I believe.
2020, that's what I thought.
Hard to keep sorted out.
Okay. Past 2 years have been a blur for a lot of us. So, but because of that setup, you know, that's why we are here today. So quickly, in terms of what the focus has been, you know, I know that it was picked up on about, I think my quote was, making Hudson a happening place to be. Yes, we all know that it is a happening place to be, but really the Tourism Board's focus has been putting the best efforts forth out of that place. And that boils down to three core areas that include the people that are within the community and elevating their interests and cultures and community engagements to be centerpieces of what happens in Hudson. The incredible environment that we live in terms of natural and historic resources here in the Hudson Valley and in the Hudson area in particular, and obviously making sure that there is a marriage of both of these elements into attracting visitors for hopefully longer term stays, in particular those that are overnight as well. It has not always been easy in this past year. I would be remiss, again, having been on the Tourism Board only for the past, let's say, month in aggregate, I can tell you, though, that it does not matter if it was this Tourism Board or the council or the state government or as high up as you want to go. Leading in a pandemic and making the decisions that one needs to in a pandemic is quite challenging. These are unprecedented times with no playbook. Obviously, you're not going to appease all of the people all of the time. And within a city the size of Hudson, there are voices that have a dissenting opinion that often impact the motivation of people to want to participate and get involved in trying to find ways to move the community forward. But that said, a lot of that criticism and feedback can be constructively harnessed so that we are able to take forward key lessons that are being applied into the budget recommendation that we're putting in front of you today. So to quickly touch on some of the key activations that the Tourism Board has shared have been quite successful over the past year, you look no further than 2 to 3 weeks back with the Latinx Festival, the Black Entrepreneurs Market that also had involvement and support from Alderman Garriga, even the Sankofa Black Arts and Cultural Festival and Parade. We have found a way, the Tourism Board has found a way to create these moments, to support these moments that have brought people to the waterfront, brought the community together, and ultimately create an environment that is attractive to visitors. And that's visitors in two sense. We're not just thinking of the weekenders that come up Friday through Sunday, but hopefully those that can come from neighboring communities, both in the county and within a 50 to 60 mile radius, to participate in all that makes Hudson great. Out of that, there were 13 total events that were supported this past year. You can see them outlined here on the screen. It's been estimated and shared with me that it has come in at a rough total cost of around $198,000, which is inclusive of a $1,000 administrative fee for things like translation services when needed, printing of flyers, et cetera. It is worth noting these are four fewer events than what happened in 2020, and that it was 14,000 less than what 2020's funding number was. Arguably, though, in conversation with the tourism board, they feel that these were more impactful events. And swapping my council hat, my chair of the tourism board hat, for my resident of the city of Hudson hat, I can say, having gone to many of these events, and those that are going to the ones that will be scheduled coming up, they really do bring a vibrant air and sense of community into Hudson. That it doesn't matter if you're from here or if you're visiting for the weekend or even it's your first time here, really make you feel like you can see under the hood of what makes Hudson special outside of Warren Street. So those programs that I just had on the screen really led to some guidance in how we want to break up our budget ask for this year. We've taken the liberty to bucket these into three items, Heather and Kamal and Tom in particular. I know, Tom, you had a preview of this by attending the tourism board meeting this week. But Heather and Kamal, the way that we are bucketing these fall into what we're deeming heritage programs. And these are really the core programming that we would like to see, for lack of a better word, protected by ensuring that there is a financial base that's there this year for them. Then we have growth initiatives where we'd like to see things continue to grow, honestly, continue to expand, and to make sure that in all we create a space with the funding and the political support, as this is coming out of the city, to make sure that we can continue to thrive in these areas that bring spotlight to the community. And category three are recurring projects. In that category, specifically, is the Warren Street Seasonal Usage Project, which we'll get to there. So with that, the heritage programs that we want to ensure that there is a commitment for success to in 2022 include these 11 programs that are here on the screen. These seem to be the best of Hudson in terms of what bring the most people out, what seem to really bring the diverse communities that we have in the city together, and overall really provide the flavor and the attractiveness of what Hudson is made up of, again, outside of the Warren Street corridor specifically. To that end, and we took a rough estimate at some of these numbers. Now, one thing I want to flag on this slide is that engagements like the Bangladeshi Festival and Flag Day were not supported by the tourism board this past year. The Bangladeshi Cultural Festival did not approach the tourism board, as I understand it. And with Flag Day, much like Pride this past year, being that they happened in June, we were still in a period where it was very on or off whether or not the Department of Health was even recommending that people gather in that capacity. So unfortunate circumstances due to the pandemic and planning led for questionable application time and challenges in making sure that everybody had a fair shake. However, they are still part of these 11 events that we feel need to be protected. So taking an estimate out of what are some of the actual funding numbers and what we could earmark, and again, none of this is decided as exact, it's example funding, we arrive at a number of around $110,245, and rounding that down into an even $100,000 that would be here to support these programs specifically in 2022. So that brings me over to the question then of, well, the growth initiatives, where do you expand? A lot of the programs that were on the previous slide really happened between, let's call it the May to October timeframe to be safe. Most start really in June. Planning, obviously, and promotion starts within the May timeframe. But with the exception of Winter Walk, the Halloween parade is typically the last thing that happens in the October timeframe. So effectively, from a calendaring perspective, we are only engaging 6 out of the 12 months that we have in front of us. And so with that, we are hoping for an additional budget that can be put aside to start growing the around the calendar, opportunities that we have to do events and attract people here to the city. So these are just some light suggested elements that have been put out by the tourism board, but The idea, though, is that we continue to ensure that programs like the ones that have become so successful, protected in the heritage category, can continue to grow. So I know that the initial number was different on Monday during the meeting, but after some debate and some commentary back from the tourism board members, we're here today to ask for that growth initiative number to be slated at $60,000. Collectively, it brings us into a total ask for the 2022 budget in this first round. And thank you to everybody who weighed in and explained to me how this process runs. So in round one here today, we are hoping to talk to you all about the benefits of the $160,000 line for funding out of categories one and two out of the budget. This brings me quickly to making sure that we address publicly some questions about how those fees, how that $160 could be administered next year. So the first thing that we talked through as a board is that we want to change the submission window to make sure that there is a more general call for applications that would happen early on. So those heritage programs, we count on them to happen every year. They count on themselves to occur every year. And as such, we encourage all of those programs to apply at the same time for equal consideration for funding. They do have dedicated base funding. And the way that we plan to look at some of the applications would be that if one application is coming to us and we know that they happen to say have, and I'm going to make nominal numbers here, say they have $50,000 for funding and another event only comes in with about $5,000 for funding, we want to take that into consideration to make sure that overall these events have what they would need financially to be successful. And what's important about that is that if we've earmarked 11,000 or if we've earmarked 100,000 divided by that 11 key events, not all events will need the same record amount of funding. And thereby what we're hoping to do is roll unused funding forward into what would be considered their growth initiatives pot. The second thing on the application process to go through is that we want to make sure that this revised process includes new questions that also help us to be better aware of compliancy requirements. And key to this, and as has been well debated at many tourism board meetings, is the ADA compliancy. So ensuring that we understand upfront where the event is going to be held, how they will address ADA compliancy and needs, and making sure that they understand that funding is contingent on delivering on those requirements is all now part of the application process that needs to be better scrutinized moving forward. And lastly, and Heather, I direct this one specifically to you, but I'd love to work together on a better KPI process when it comes to understanding exactly how these events tie into stays within the community. And one of the simplest ideas that we've had is going directly to each of the hotels, not just in Hudson, but maybe even in the surrounding area, and asking them to add a piece to the check-in process where we're able to capture what brought people to Hudson for that weekend. Because if we happen to know that the hotels reported, for example, a 30% increase that weekend of people saying that they were here for something like Latinx Fest or Pride, that is something that we would want to capture and be able to bring back and report to everybody in terms of impact that the event that was funded had on the community itself. So the second part of what I want to discuss today, and I know I need to go and have tighter conversations about this with the city attorney, but it's about how we also create the ability to make some of these programs become more sustainable itself. Given that the lodging tax is no longer just handed over to us, my assumption and understanding about part of why that was taken away is so that it does rein in some spending. Now, that said, I'm also cognizant, as the board is, that reining in spending on programs that continue to delight the community and our visitors isn't the answer that we want to work toward. But I think we can find a middle ground here on how we can make sure that underwriting can be provided by outside organizations to ensure that there is more to continue to grow and do more with. And so one of the things that we wanted to discuss today is the possibility of rolling over the reserve into a fund that can also see public-private partnership contributions made to it. I would still need to do the legwork to understand if that's something through the HDC or it can be done with the CEDC in the way that they've worked in this capacity with the tourism board in the last year. But specifically, and not for me as an elected official, because I know that that would be illegal. However, the appointed members of the tourism board as non-elected officials, I'd like to understand and see if we can confirm that they can be tasked with or charged to go and bring in that funding from local community businesses. And I want to underscore something that got very misconstrued in follow-up that I've read from Monday. I'm not talking about sponsorship or branding here. I'm talking about underwriting into a central fund. And that central fund, and I'll get to that in a second, needs to have the endorsement of city leadership to ensure that the tourism board can continue to grow and provide intra-programming community and connections where it's needed. Those businesses, for example, and I thought this might make it a little bit more clear for those on the call today, are much of the local businesses, yes, some corporate, however, all of which have a presence either on Warren Street or businesses that support directly the majority of the citizens of the area of Hudson, whether that's Ginsburg's in providing food elements to our restaurants, Mid-Hudson, who's probably powering this call right now, Stewart's, where I personally get my milk, Hudson River Bank and Trust, Berkshire Bank on Warren Street, or even a ShopRite, working with these organizations to ensure that they can contribute in one of two ways. One, a nominal donation that they're able to make to the central fund, or two, we have the ability to be able to partner them directly with either the heritage events or the growth initiatives so that they can be direct underwriters of each of those. That brings me to the third line here, which is the recurring projects, specifically Warren Street seasonal usage. So while I understand that we own the infrastructure for this program, we decided to put an earmarked budget of around $42,000 between the project management fee, planter boxes, DPW installations and takedown, the administrative costs, which are similar to what I had outlined earlier in the overall budget. And lastly, I know it's a big piece of it is the lost parking revenue. This number, to be clear, is not included in the $160,000 spend that we're here to discuss. And the recommended approach on this from the tourism board is that we look to the businesses to self-fund this program in 2022. There will be a closeout survey conducted to talk about the impact, both qualitative and quantitative, from each of the participating businesses' perspectives. And then in that same survey, we plan to ask them whether or not they would participate again in 2022. That will be able to provide us with a more firm understanding of what that cost would be to pass on to businesses. And then ultimately, if it is something that would require funding, we could bring it back in front of the council. Or if it's something that can be self-sustained, we can work with the council and DPW to figure out what that looks like going forward. I'm going to open it up now for questions and debate. I'm happy to keep this presentation up, or I can shrink it down so we can all see each other better, whichever you prefer.
The BEA, just to let you know, Ryan, I know you haven't been involved before. There's not really a place where we debate. We kind of ask you questions as the representative.
Ask away. I'll take this down for now then.
Excuse me. The growth initiatives, it seems to me they make more sense rather than having a designated budget to be assessed on a project basis where the tourism board could come back to the council with a project and find its funding that way. My other comment is about the base funding for the heritage plan, the heritage. The problem with the base funding is that it kind of, it's a commitment to amount of money they may, let me rephrase this. In the past, there was a set amount of money, a general amount of money, let's say $30,000 for events. And then everybody put in their application and it was divvied up. I always objected to the idea that it all had to be used. That's a whole other issue, but it seems to me it's better for the applicant to identify how much they need before we commit to giving them a certain base amount. That's just my opinion. Lastly, I'm sure you realize that some of these projects have already sought underwriting of a sort. They get sponsors. But what I'm wondering is, I mean, this is kind of totally a side issue, but perhaps the tourism board might have a better future life as a independent 501(c) that gets money, seed money from the city, let's say the 100,000, theoretically, and then has no problem with seeking other funds, you know, through grants, through,
I understand what you're saying completely. And I think, you know, that came up a little bit too. I think there's a way that the entire board can be eventually self-sustaining, which is a lot of why I put the public-private partnership and the endorsement of being able to do the broader underwriting under Hudson Tourism, whatever it is that it's called, Hudson Tourism Board, however that would be framed. Mm-hmm. But I think like everything else, it's something where I'm personally not comfortable ripping the rug out from any of these programs, particularly given the, you know, the environment that we live in. I mean, it's still a question of, you know, Fauci was questioned how many times this week are we going to be able to get together for the holidays, right? Like there is still a lot of uncertainty out there. And I think that likely by the end of 2022, we're going to be out of those woods further so than we have been in them for the past 2 years. And that's why I feel that the ability to have both vehicles going into 2022 provides a bit of a cushion and insurance to know that 2022 programs survive with the ability to start garnering more of a nest egg to make it a self-sufficient endeavor. I unfortunately, I'm not a financial expert, so I don't know the legality of the vehicles that we would need to ensure that are in place. But obviously, I know that I've got a team here, especially that are on this call, that can help guide me in that process.
Heather, do you have a comment?
Well, you know, go ahead, Heather.
Go ahead, Tom. No, go ahead, Tom.
Well, you know, CEDC, which contributes to the tourism of the county, is partially funded by the county. So correct. It's kind of, I mean, I don't know if we'd want to use HDC, although they claim they're interested in tourism as well. I don't know, you know, what they're...
There are existing bodies, though, correct? I mean, CEDC is the only one I'm more familiar with because I've spoken with Mike Tucker. I know that they've worked with us in the past. I've personally not engaged with the HDC before. I'm aware of them, obviously, but, you know, and are there others within the city, too?
Not really. I mean, but the point is CEDC is we are 1/10 of the county, so they, you know, we are allowed to benefit from what they do. I mean, it's not just for everybody else in the county and not us. And they administered the tourism board very well in the past. Just in terms of if there were an outside group that you wanted to help with administration, they've done a great job.
I believe it's the numbers that I've heard Mike share before and could be wrong, but 10% of the tourism in the county is derived out of Hudson, thereby from an administrative standpoint in terms of what their collective time would be, we could lean on 10% of that.
We are 10% in terms of numbers of the county.
Right. That's what I mean. So, but if you extrapolated that into time that they would pay in attention, right, it would be if dollars equal time.
Yeah, well, I think you could say Hudson and Greenport account for majority more of sales tax in the county.
Mr. Mayor, comments?
I guess I'm looking at, you know, us as a BAA committing to, I forget the first category of events, the ones that included Waterfront Wednesdays and
Heritage. I'll pull it up for you here. 1 second, sir. The Heritage programs?
Committing a portion to maintaining that, you know, these programs continue and yeah, that's where I'm at. I know that you had the other category of growth programs, but you know, at this particular standpoint, I wouldn't make a commitment to funding those as yet.
I think what the mayor said to the previous applicant budget request was that, you know, we don't make any hard and fast decision right now. I mean, we do.
No, totally understand.
So, you know, especially with these two categories that we've just gotten today, because they are new budget lines.
So absolutely. Well, that's less. And that's, we more wanted to carve up, instead of one ask where everything is mired together and then you've got to pull it back out. Right. This was the more safe approach that we thought to say, sure, look, here's, if you want to stack rank where we think the spend would go, right? Because if we were to say city wanted to fund seasonal streets in 2022 at that estimated cost of $42,000, I mean, we're back up to a $200,000 line item in that aspect.
Well, on that,
we've made no decision.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. On that, streets, it's really, we're not going to.
That's basically out of necessity, but I want to say that because I know there are folks on the call who have strong feelings either way about shared streets, but it was out of a necessity. So we have no commitment to doing it in the future.
Okay.
And more importantly, the tourism board could ask money for that, but the whole project couldn't happen without the mayor say so.
Right.
Has to start there. Then of course the council gets involved in terms of the finance. But so in other words, we're not going to fund something that you wouldn't really seek funds for something that hasn't been approved, as the mayor just said.
I do like what you threw out on the potential change for the growth initiative piece. I mean, personally, I'm not speaking for the whole of the board because I'd like to discuss it with them. But there is something to be said about, we could do a quarterly application process for growth initiatives in a way where we would be able to rank them down into the ones that would be taken forward and asked for funding. I do want to underscore and stress, though, the feedback. I mean, Mr. Mayor, you hit perfectly on Waterfront Wednesdays. You know, again, taking off my council position, taking off my tourism board chair position, the fact that an organization got together to make something happen in Hudson on a non-Friday, Saturday, or Sunday is huge. And I think that even outside of tourism, residents appreciate that. How do we turn more event programming on at the waterfront that doesn't just happen on the weekends? And I think, you know, somebody did bring up a very good point during the tourism board meeting of that requires making sure that businesses are also open and that, you know, I mean, the hotels are always open, but you know, you want to tie in to make sure that all of those elements fall like dominoes in place if you're going to create an atmosphere for that. I would stress that with the growth initiatives that the BEA will look through that lens of how are we taking better advantage of that waterfront capability as part of what is really at the root of those growth initiatives as well.
There, what was your comment? I didn't want to leave you out.
Nope, that's okay. I'm just piggybacking on yours and Tom's comment and the comment that I also made in the last budget meeting, which is, as Tom mentioned, these are both new requests for funding compared to prior years. And I just want to set people's expectations because for the last couple of years, the city's actually been running a deficit in terms of expenditures being higher than revenues. So it is very challenging to try and find sources of revenue for new expenditures. So I just want to make sure that people understand that that's sort of what BEA is working with and is somewhat tying our hands. And I will just say anecdotally on your last comment, Ryan, I know that the city has tried to do several things, Thursday night crawls and things like that. And oftentimes, and it's the same issue where people also complain that the shops are closed in the middle of the week, which makes it less interesting for people to come. But part of the problem is that is a small shop economic issue because in many cases, the shop owners are saying that they can't afford to pay for the staff to keep the extra hours open. So that's just something else to keep in mind. And as you're exploring those things, that might be something you want to talk with the business owners about as well.
Oh, absolutely. We brought up conversations with, the Hudson Business Coalition for that to see, like, you know, who would behoove to be open. You know, and then the other part to that too is that if it's not more weekday programming, I just go back to the winter program. There's 6 months that, you know, we don't take a total advantage of. We're making ourselves a warm season environment, and we know that, you know, I personally like the cold, so I could stand programming for six more months no matter what it would be. But you know, even a balanced approach to making sure that both of those would be considered in that growth initiatives package. So the total, you know, to make it short, is that the initial ask from the tourism board is $160,000 for your consideration and further debate, leaving the shared streets piece separate for consideration down the road once a wrap-up is conducted. And is this something I'd be able to email to all of you after this call?
Yeah, sure. Definitely. Sure. And then, you know, we'll be in touch after we know our, you know, revenue and expenditures, that process.
Perfect. Any further questions, folks?
Nope.
I did a lot this whole hour though. So, you know, I may not have been ready early, but I've got extra time right now if you've got anything.
None for me, Mr. President.
Nope.
Madam Treasurer.
No, I'm good for now. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate your time today.
All right. Thank you, Ryan.